BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Becky's here, hiya.
Hello.
Chris is here, hiya.
Hello.
You're right. That means more 24 years at the tap end. Chris's autobiography, coming a bit later. More news on the Radio 1 movie, which is getting very exciting now. It's nearly a week away. A week tomorrow. And it'll be the premiere on the Radio 1 website. That's right. A week tomorrow, I know. I know. What's the beef with Chris Moyles, please?
Well, I mean, the beef with Chris is that yesterday on the show, you had a CD, which you brought back from your holiday in Dubai.
That's right.
Of
Hussein Al-Jassimi.
Yes, who you
huge
said...
Huge artist in the Middle East.
You said on the show, looked exactly like Chris Moyles. We put a picture up, you heard everyone agreeing with you, blah, blah, blah.
Now, and then he found it this morning in the last hour of his show.
And he wasn't happy.
Was he not?
No, and he said that this was the start of a war between you two.
I don't want a war.
But what I'd quite like to pick up with you on is the fact that the minute
Don't have a go at me.
No, I just want to know your reasoning behind this, is that this morning on Twitter, after yesterday spending 3 hours, almost all the show apart from 1 minute when you talked about your movie, saying how much this guy looked like Chris, to now when Chris said, does this look like me, you were straight onto him back on Twitter going, no, 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 it doesn't look anything like you now. You're so much thinner and everything. And it's like... You're so much more attractive than him, and I would never say that. And
he is
like,
thinner.
Hang on a minute.
He looks like old Chris Moyles.
Why are you trying to suck up to Chris?
I'm not. I just don't want a war. I just end in tears.
But you spent 3 hours yesterday
on
your show.
Yeah, all right.
And didn't expect him to listen to Radio 1?
Well, he did come in here, actually, didn't he, for a little bit yesterday. But he didn't see the CD at the time.
So why the backtracking?
I just don't want a war, Becky.
So can we get it once and for all? Do you think this person looks like Chris or not?
Yes. In 2005. Not now, because he is a lean, mean hunk of a man now. A machine, I would say.
And what are you saying? In 2005 he was a fatty?
Yes. I think that's fine. Have I covered it?
Made it worse.
Okay, good.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
What's happening, Chris?
Well, I think I found something which is hashtag winning on two different levels.
Oh, I like hashtag winning on two levels. Tell me what it is.
Well, one, it's a fun job, and two, I think it could help the movie.
Oh, okay, so it's nice of you to finally offer to help with the movie in some way. So what have you got?
Well, I thought I could be a film critic, and therefore give this film, the movie... loads of good reviews and 5 stars. It'll just help you out, won't it?
It would, actually, because I think a film often lives and dies on the reviews.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Okay. I mean, and also, what a brilliant job that is.
But hasn't Radio 1 already got a film critic? Yeah. Rihanna?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but she's good. And the idea is that I can guarantee us 5 stars. It'll be like a man on the inside, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, so we're not going to use her because she's the official and she's honest.
She might be too honest.
She's got to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, whereas you, just going to give us 5 stars?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm going to word it like a critic. I'm going to do everything to make people believe that I am a critic, except, I'm one of us.
You're on the inside.
Do you think people won't realise?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Well, you've been on the show quite a while now, and then all of a sudden, the day before our film, you become a film critic, and then we yeah. get 5 stars.
But I'm just thinking...
No one will question it.
On the posters and that, whereas quotes, really, their names are very small, aren't they, in case they're from a rubbish magazine or something like that.
Yeah.
So all they'll see is big 5 stars, and then underneath, just Chris.
Yeah, that's true. You don't really see the names, do you?
No.
What a brilliant job being a film reviewer is, though, isn't it? You go to the cinema for free pretty much every day, say what you thought of it, bosh, go home.
Yeah.
That's it.
So is this something that you want to do kind of long term, or is it just for next week?
Why not? This could be a new job, couldn't it?
Right, so you are going to become a film critic?
Well, could be. This could be my first go at it, really. It could be the first, the one that puts my name on the map, reviewed the big Radio 1 movie.
I love your dreams, Chris.
Well.
You keep reaching for the stars, don't you?
One of these days, you never know. Just this
throw enough at it, and something will stick.
Exactly. And to prove this, what I've done is I've written some reviews for films.
Oh, you don't know anything about films. We discussed this.
But hang on, I'm trying to label myself as a film critic.
Sorry,
you're not helping. We're all on the same team here.
Sorry.
So I've written some reviews.
Okay.
To show how well I can word these things.
And what films have you chosen?
I just picked some random ones, really, just at random, some films I've heard of. And reviewed them.
Well, this is brilliant news. So if you work maybe for a national newspaper and you're thinking of binning your old film reviewer for maybe a younger model, or maybe you work for... What's that show that Claudia Winklepicker does?
Film 2011.
That's it.
Claudia Winkleman.
Mun. Maybe she needs someone new to review a film. Listen up, dudes, because I could have your boy right here. Right, so is this a practice run, is it?
I'm ready, yeah.
Right, hit me with it.
Slumdog Millionaire. Never seen it. But by all accounts, it's a cracking film about a boy that wins the lottery after finding a ticket on the floor of his local slum. It's a rags-to-riches tale. Most incredible about this film is it was made on a shoestring budget and has done so well that everyone involved is now minted. A must-see. I also saw the main bloke in a cafe in Pinner not too long ago, and he was lovely to my mum. 4 stars.
I like it. It's a different approach.
It's not right at all.
What do you mean?
Well, that's not what happens.
Eh?
Well, no, that's not the plot.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I like the angle of never seeing it and just guessing.
Whoa.
Did your mum meet Dev Patel?
Yeah, she did, yeah. It was
lovely. Oh, so that bit's true.
I was there having a coffee with my mum. He walked past. A couple of kids recognised him. And then my mum said, quite brazenly to him, "Who are you?" And he was like, "I was in this film Slumdog Millionaire." I thought, fair play to you, you know what I mean? You sort of...
Fair play, mate.
Quick word with my mum. Anyway.
OMG.
2, Friends with Benefits. I was forced to watch this, but actually was pleasantly surprised. A delightful tale of two people, friends, who are at it. One standout actor, Mila Kunis, who delivered a powerful, believable and thought-provoking performance in nearly every second scene. One for the lads here, some emotional scenes keep a box of tissues handy. Plot, however, was awful. Tricky one to mark this. 4 stars for Kunis, 2 for the film.
Can you do that?
You can't rate specific actresses or how fit they are.
It's the only reason you'd watch that film, really, isn't it?
I thought it was quite
it's
good.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's good.
Right. What else you got?
3, The Hangover. One of my favourite films in ages. A group of lads go on a stag do to Vegas and it all goes wrong. All ends up fine at the end and the marriage goes ahead. It puts all my experience of hangovers to shame, and it's the kind of film that everyone young and old can relate to. The acting is seamless and believable. Fun for all the family. 4 stars.
Fun for all the family?
I'm not sure that my...
Nans?
Yeah, I'm not sure that my nan could relate to having livestock and animals in the hotel room.
Yeah, I just thought that was the kind of phrase you put in reviews, isn't it?
I'm also not sure it's for all the family.
That's what I mean, fun for all the family.
It's not, though.
But I envisage that on the poster. I mean, that's the line they'd use on the poster, isn't it?
It's
4 stars, fun for all the family.
But it's not true.
That's more like a theme park.
Right, OK.
Not a film.
It doesn't relate to films,
no.
Does it? All right. Last one.
Mm.
Lord of the Rings, the first one.
Have you seen it?
Fellowship of the Ring, I did, yeah.
Oh, God.
Heard lots of good stuff about this film, and it clearly cost a lot of money to make, but I don't have a clue what was going on. I'm not that good with the magical, mystical genre, and this was no exception. 3 hours in, it suddenly ended, and I was informed that it was the first part of a trilogy. So a word of warning. It's going to cost you 3 times as much and roughly 9 hours of your life to get through this. I can think of better uses of that time. Looked incredible, though. Beautifully shot, not much of a plot. 2 stars.
For Lord of the Rings.
I mean, I hope the movie that you're making is better than that.
It is. I promise you. Well, I've just said that our movie is better than Lord of the Rings.
There's a quote for the review.
Of course it is. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. In 8 days' time, it is the premiere of the Radio 1 movie that we're all making, all of us. And Becky's got some news on this, I think.
Guess who I've got on board for the movie?
Who?
You are never going to believe this. And I wasn't sure if I was going to pull it off for a long time.
Right.
But...
Is this something you've been working on?
Yeah, for about a month now. But
really?
I didn't want to say anything in case it didn't happen.
Okay.
Okay, on the phone now, actual Tarantino.
You are having a laugh.
Nope.
Hello?
Hello, yes, it's me.
Is this Mr. Quentin Tarantino?
Not Quentin, but I'm Mr. Tarantino.
So your name is Mr. Tarantino?
Correct.
And what's your first name?
Norman.
Okay.
You just said, get me Tarantino.
Right. Where do you live, Norman?
In Pennsylvania.
It's going to help and be, like, part of the movie and stuff.
So are you any relation to Quentin Tarantino?
I believe so, yes. Me and Quentin have met and talked on one occasion, and we're not quite sure, but I've always referred to him as my cousin for many, many years. I never heard gotten a cease and desist letter or heard any complaints about that fact.
So when was the last time you spoke to Mr. Quentin Tarantino?
About 5 or 6 years ago, we bumped into each other when we were in New York.
And what did you say? Hi, cuz.
Just hello. We just talked. We were trying to set up my doing a story on him for one of the magazines I write for, and we just never been able to actually connect.
This is so amazing to have actual Tarantino on board.
I know.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
No problem. So tell me some more about your film that you're working on.
Well, we got a lot of our listeners to film what they were doing on the weekend of the 14th and 15th of May this year, which was also the weekend of our big music event that we do for free called Radio 1's Big Weekend, which was in Carlisle in the north of England.
Okay.
So we've got loads of footage from that. We've got loads of nice stories from people that were doing other things that weekend. And I think we're just about ready to go. All I need to do from you, really, Norman, is to get your name on the credits. Would that be possible?
That's not a problem. I'm definitely usually like to have my names on the credits with you guys.
So then I can say a Tarantino production?
Exactly, exactly.
So that's okay with you, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Oh my God, is his cousin? Maybe. I love this. We can put it on the front. You don't understand what this means to me, Mr. Tarantino.
Oh, I understand. It's a notable name. I would be the one to break it in the business before. I was kind of a little jealous when Quentin became the first Tarantino with his name above the credits.
By the end of this, no one will remember Quentin. It's going to be all about you, Norman.
Well, hopefully we'll submit it. We'll get a shot at possibly even getting an Academy Award for Best Documentary. When it comes time for it. So.
Yeah, an Oscar would be incredible if you can sort that or, you know, pull some strings along the way.
Yes, whatever we need to do. Where are you going to be releasing the picture once it's completed?
It's going to be on the Radio 1 website next Wednesday evening, and that's the same time we're having a premiere in Carlisle, 7 p.m.
Okay, I'll do that. I will definitely be watching everything, and if there's a way I could participate, snipe into you guys or whatever you need, I'd love to make sure I'm there, at least in spirit, for the opening.
And if you have a private jet, do feel free to come to the premiere. It's in Carlisle next Wednesday night, 7 p.m.
If I had a private jet, I would be more than happy to take it. But unfortunately, I don't have that big of a budget at this present time to jet into Carlisle.
Well, we'll be thinking of you.
Yeah, I'm glad you will. And then you know, they say it's a Tarantino production.
Yeah, this is so good. Really good to speak to you, Norman, and thank you for giving us your permission.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks, Norman.
Bye-bye.
Becky, that is so good. Thank you. We have got Tarantino on board. It will be a Tarantino film. We can say it's a Mills Tarantino production now. Admittedly, it's a bloke that might be Quentin Tarantino's cousin called Norman, but we can still put it on.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Remember yesterday, when we were talking about the film, I was saying that if you could help us out by spreading the word about the movie, you could maybe be on the credits. Helen's been on. Helen Mitford. She's given her full name just in case we include her on the film credits at the end, because I want them to be like long and scrolling, you know, like on those films where it just goes on for like 5-10 minutes. She says, please, 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 can I be best boy? I have always wanted to be best boy on film credits. It would be one of my life dreams realised. I know that you had someone else ask first as you read out their text, so I don't mind too much being second best boy. I'm nearly always driving when listening to your show, so I couldn't text in immediately. And now you've gone off air. This was sent yesterday evening. But I promised to publicise the film a lot via Facebook and Twitter, etc. Good. If you want to text me on 81199, as long as you promise to, like, put it everywhere, even to the point of maybe, I don't know, walking around the street with a sandwich board saying, Wednesday, 7 p.m, Radio 1 website and the web address, bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. Put it all over your Facebook, put it all over your Twitter, publicise it and might put you on the credits for the movie next week. Wednesday, 7 p.m, Radio 1 website for the Radio 1 movie. It's going to be great. 8 days to go.
The Scott Mills Daily.
It's been off air for a week, but in that time, our Facebook and my Twitter have been going crazy with listeners saying, please, Scott, we want more of 24 years at the tap end.
How many tweets did you get?
A couple. It's the autobiography of my mate Chris, and God, I've missed it. How about you, Bekalar?
Oh, I thought you were on holiday with him, getting your own...
I have my own version, yeah.
I can't wait for those chapters.
He's banned me.
I've said, do you know what? I've deliberately made an effort not to ask you how your holiday together was.
No, I so banned it from Tap End.
So, have you? Because yeah. I was going to wait for the Tap End chapters, because I thought Chris puts everything so eloquently.
Yeah. So how's it been going, Chris? All right?
All right, yeah. It's just thinking up stuff from my life to talk about, really.
I know.
Because personally...
Imagine at the end of it, you're going to have a really nice big book.
Well, we're going to have a book. I mean, the amount I've written more than I did in dissertation, any schoolwork. So
something to show the grandkids, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll be like, yeah, I don't care.
Really? Oh.
Okay, everybody. I think it's time for another excerpt. So, whatever you're doing, sit down, relax. Maybe have a little sip from that cup of coffee or tea that you're having right now.
Oh, have a biscuit.
Treat yourself.
Chocolate.
Here is the next bit of Chris's autobiography, 24 years at the tap end. Enjoy it.
Ready?
Oh, God!
Yes, we're ready. Sorry. I just did a massive intro. Sorry.
Did he do this on holiday?
Oh, God. Ready?
Yeah.
Millsy, ready?
Oh, right. My 19th year at the tap end. I just had the best summer of my life. Me and the lads had had a great time in Malia and had our last drinks in the pub we all used to go to, the Misty Moon in Northwood. Was a bit emotional, really. I think we all thought things were going to change from there on in. Most of the lads were heading off to different unis all over the UK, and those that weren't were getting jobs. It came to the day which was to be my first day at Southampton Uni. I think my mum was more excited than me about it, and my poor dad was trying to get as much of my stuff into the car as he could. I was a bit gutted to be leaving home, but think that was more the fear of the unknown than anything else. Just off the M3, we turned left and there was my halls, Glenair Halls.
Aww.
We went through the barrier and drove around the corner to my block.
I know it well.
Course,
why
yeah.
do you know it? You didn't go to Southampton University.
I used to sneak into the university radio when I was 15.
I wonder what you're going to say. Sneaking into the halls?
I used to do little random shows. My mate was a student there. So.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
The halls looked amazing. Big fountain in the middle surrounded by a big square of grass. There were loads of reps helping us to unload cars. Sorry,
reps?
I'm reading this weird, aren't I?
Reps, like off of Malia?
They were like freshers reps, they were called. It was basically all the second years had a shirt to show how important they were so that they could get off with the freshers. That's the truth of it.
Really?
But on that day, to impress the parents and that they're there to help, they unload cars and stuff like that.
But they've got an ulterior.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We found a space, went to the reception to register, then made our way up to my room in H Block. I was having to share a room for the first 6 weeks of uni until my accommodation was sorted out.
Oh, I don't know about this.
I could have been with any nutter, but I was told he wouldn't be there till 2 days later, so until then I had the room to myself. We carried my stuff up and I quickly banished my parents. And there I was, in a room in Southampton by myself, surrounded by boxes of kitchen stuff I didn't know how to use. I decided to go visit the bar, which was right on my doorstep. Although I didn't know it at the time, this bar was to make up the content of some of the best chapters of my life. I thought I'd go give it a look and take the opportunity to go spot some early talent in preparation for the following evening's toga party. The start of freshers.
They still do those toga parties. Why do they do it?
Always.
Why?
Always in freshers. It's a toga party, a school disco.
Or Baywatch.
And yeah, lifeboat. What else do they do? It's mainly love a toga party.
They love it. I don't know why. They just love it.
A bloke called Oggy approached me to say hello.
How do you know his name was Oggy?
Well, I know now.
Right.
It's like half of this is with hindsight. A bloke called Oggy approached me to say hello. He was Tonk, and I noticed he was making a huge effort to get to know all the on-site girls with some great success.
He was what?
Tonk.
What's that?
It's a word he uses for like A hunk.
Stacked.
Yeah.
Well, I don't call him a hunk. You know.
Have you got a thing at the back? What do they call it in like old books where you don't know the word?
Oh, an index.
Yeah.
Can do.
Tonk.
An appendix.
Because you need to have that for tonk. That needs to have a little one by it, and okay, then a bit at the back where you can reference it, or at least at the bottom of the page.
I'll write that in now.
Anywho, back to Tonk Oggy. I want to know more.
I decided he must be the one I try and attach myself to for protection.
Were the ladies liking him?
Yeah. Hmm. He was a freshers rep and clearly held the power.
I bet you ended up hating him.
Oggy would later become my housemate for my future years at uni.
Oh.
But there's plenty of stories I look forward to telling about this legend. That night, to try and make friends and to impress Oggy, I told a lie that I regret saying. I claimed that I had recently pulled the ginger one from the Sugar Babes.
We've done this before.
Yeah. This would later lead to my first year nickname being called Sugar Babe. I'm ashamed of this, as this name and reputation was built on a foundation of lies.
All lies, Chris.
Yeah, I'm really... I do regret that.
Do you?
Because it was then a lie that I had to go along with for a year.
Yeah. What, so every time people had heard about it, did you just say, yeah, I did?
Yeah, I did. And the problem is, the more you lie, the more elaborate it gets, the harder it is to remember stuff.
Right, well, what did this story end up being then?
Well, I did meet this girl, actually. I met her in Misty Moons in Northwood once.
Who?
The ginger one from the Sugar Babes.
Siobhan?
That's it.
Yeah.
And, But yeah, I
claimed... You didn't get off with her?
No, I didn't.
What actually happened with you and Siobhan? You said, all right.
I went up to her after a couple and was like, all right. And she basically had no interest whatsoever.
No.
Sort of was with her mates. It was all very awkward.
And then what did the story end up being by the time all the Chinese whispers got involved?
That I'd previously pulled her and was going out with her briefly before I started uni and dumped her so I could be single and freshers.
How much did that escalate?
That was a bad one.
That was really bad. I like this, because this is like one of those also biographies where people, you know, really speak from the heart and they say their regrets about what they've done in their life. And this is what yours is like.
Now. I want to be honest.
Yeah, no, I like it.
I also had recently acquired Rachel Stevens' number.
How?
I can't disclose how. And to impress him, I called it. I don't mean it. I mean, I called the number.
You're not calling Rachel Stevens it?
And left a voicemail.
Hang on a second. Right. If you're being honest, how the hell did you get Rachel Stevens' number? No. Was it her actual number?
I'm almost certain this is the correct number, just because of the way it was got.
Who gave you the number?
It was acquired through Bradley.
Who?
Bradley S Club?
Yeah.
Bradley S Club 7 gave you Rachel S Club 7's
for
number?
For money?
Not quite. This has all gone wrong. I can't say, can
you? You paid Bradley from S Club for Rachel's number?
No.
He showed you her number on his phone. You memorised it.
Almost.
Right. I knew this. I know you so well. You wrote it down.
Why was he showing you Rachel's number?
Am I right?
Number?
He wasn't showing me.
It's gone so red.
It was acquired through Bradley.
Yeah.
From someone else who used that technique. I can't say who. I can't say how.
Okay. Well, that's all I need to know. Move on.
I can't disclose how, and to impress him... No, I've read this bit. I called and left a voicemail. I must point out at this point, Rachel Stevens does not have a clue who I am. I therefore also apologise to Rachel Stevens for the voicemail that night, but thank her for helping me survive my first night at uni.
What happened? What did you say on the voicemail?
I did the age-old thing of, hiya, it's Chris, can you give us a call back?
Classy.
So that she would then hear it, go, oh, God, Chris. I must know Chris. Yeah, I know Chris. I'll call him back and find out which one. She never did.
No.
I hope one day to buy Rachel Stevens and the ginger one from Sugar Babes a drink. If it wasn't for them, my first night at uni wouldn't be the start of some important chapters of my life. I went back to my room. Darkness fell on my first night.
Is that what you call it?
I went back to my room. Darkness fell on my first night, moved away from home. That makes no sense.
No.
I pressed play on the streets and Kano CD in my CD player. And although I was a bit sad and missed my mates from home, exciting and incredible times were to come.
That is lovely, lovely chapter. That I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
And that was today's 24 years at the Tap End instalment. Let me know if you enjoyed it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And now,
Two people, two cups of water, one bin. Innuendo Bingo, the duel.
Ow.
You're right.
Oh, God.
Would you like one of our six waters?
See, I thought it would be... It's only Bloody Friday that killed me, not that.
Shall I give him a water?
Oh, can I have one of your waters? Yeah, sorry. Thanks very much, love. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. What's going on?
That's
you did
better.
That face then, like you were tasting cocktails on something for the weekend.
Oh. It's Tuesday night, and that means it's innuendo bingo time. Let me know, please, if you're playing along at home. I like it when you play along. Send me a text. Tell me who you're playing with on 81199.
I missed this last week when you two were on holiday. Did you play it by the hotel pool together?
Yeah, we did, actually.
Did you play it here?
I just kept going, go on, pigs! And that's enough for him.
No, I didn't play it without you.
Oh, OK. Good. No bingo with Sarah Cox?
No.
Oh.
Do you think I could get her to do this?
I don't know.
No.
So, it's pretty straightforward. Becky's wearing a bin bag. Chris is wearing just his normal clothes again. Chris, you need to think about this a bit more.
Come
armed with wet weather gear or something on a Tuesday.
It's like a spare pair of clothes. It's like PE.
It really is.
Old school PE.
Yeah, vest and pants.
Right.
No, I don't want him doing... No.
No?
No.
It's not something that's...
It's bad enough in his white T-shirt. I don't want him in vest and pants.
Right. Okay, just
at
saying.
At least he's not wearing those jeans with the hole in the... Yeah. In the...
Sorry.
In the area.
Yeah. Anna's playing in the car on her own. Hi, Anna. Make sure you video. I want people to video these and send them in when we're playing a new bingo on the radio. I want people to video it and send it in. I'm playing with Abby, says Alice. Another Alice says, I meant to be doing Spanish revision, but I'm going to play innuendo bingo by myself. Scott, it's Ross. I'm playing with myself tonight on bingo. And it's a mixture of old and new this evening. All right, so got some classics in there for you that you might have forgotten about, and also some new ones. Right, it's simple and straightforward. Are we going bin tonight, or are we going up in the air with the water?
I think we're doing a duel, aren't we? Yeah, it's me against Becky, not on ourselves today.
Bin.
No, against each other, yeah.
So you know what happens. Basically, you take a sip of water, I play you a clip from something off the TV or radio that might sound a little bit risky, and then if you laugh, obviously the water spits out into the bin. Normally people get covered in water. Let's go. Water, please. I don't even know where this first one was.
Not that much. He's taken four gulps. Mm. It looks like a chipmunk.
He's been away for a week.
What difference does that mean?
Chipmunk.
Not even funny.
I know. I don't know.
Not, didn't look like Chipmunk the pop star.
No, not Chipmunk.
That's gone again.
Hang on.
Not Chip Diddy Chip.
Sees up. All right. Okay, I don't even know where this one's from, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Get by the bin, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
After that climb, I need some tea, I'm starving.
Well, I tell you, you've come to the right spot.
Yes.
A good big pot of muff stew.
Muff stew.
Muff stew.
So, some Irish people there. And some stew.
Oh, right in the face.
Oh, yeah, that's right in the face, yeah. Though. I thought you were supposed to be aiming for the bin.
I was.
Bit cold.
Oh, God.
Next, we're over to James May's Man Lab. That's a great show. Spotted by a lot of people, this one, including Steph, Michelle, Ollie, Dave and Richie. Do you've got your water, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Ooh. It's not even funny, is it?
You were making the go on pig noise.
I'm doing my impression of Mel B off Bo Selector.
Sprayed right over my leg there.
Ooh. Right, okay.
But come on. Come on.
Water, please.
Becky's gone.
Oh, she's lost it.
Why did you suddenly do your Mel B
I don't know.
Selector impression?
It's just in my head. I don't know.
Loser.
I've got a Sky Digital in every room. Come through my saloon doors.
I've never watched Bo Selector.
Brilliant.
Sounds good.
That one is good. Okay, here we go. Water, please.
Mm-hmm.
James May.
That's Anthony's passage there.
Yeah.
So we're that close.
We're that close.
We're nearly there. I can almost taste it, Rita.
There we are.
That's Anthony's passage there.
Yeah. All right, Chris. That's a good one. Oh, okay. Becky's still not very wet. Chris, very much so. Oh. I've got some. I always like the golf ones. Mm. So we've got golf in you, end up being going out. Oh yeah, this is good. Ready? Let go.
Is the wind getting stronger, Paul?
Yes, it is, Sam. It's gusting. It's also a chill to it as well.
Can get very cold, Lynx golf. I remember Ken Brown used to soak his balls in hot water for a good hour before playing cold weather.
You went even before the bingo.
I remembered it. I'm a big fan of Lynx golf.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Ken Brown used to soak his balls in hot water for a good hour before playing cold weather.
Mm. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, God.
You all right, Chris?
Yeah.
You're good.
All right.
Okay.
Is there more?
There's more.
Oh, no.
Okay. More water, please. Thanks to Pete in Cumbria, one of our listeners, for spotting this classic from Raymond Blanc. Is he off of cooking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Ready? Mm. Let's go.
Of course, I could eat my plums as they come. Au naturel, they are so delicious as they are. Or I could do something quite extraordinary.
I like it that you didn't go right to the end, Chris.
I tried.
No, you really did try to hold it in then, but just what happened is... Becky went straight away there.
Of course, I could eat my plums as they come.
Legend. It's just that French accent.
I know.
My plums.
Extraordinary.
Okay. Yes. All right.
We're running out of water, I told you.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Quick one, this, from Phil Spencer off of Property Shows. Mm-hmm. Ready? Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm nursing a semi. Today, I'm nursing a semi.
No, nothing. Chris?
Today, I'm nursing a...
Oh, there we are. I knew I'd get you the third time. Okay, and one more, everybody.
Oh, here we go. Big gulp.
Oh, big one, then. Come
I wonder
on, then.
What this could be.
Right.
No,
oh.
It's not. Mm-mm. We've done that for weeks. Boring. Mm-mm. Really boring now. It's not.
Mm-mm.
It isn't.
Mm-mm.
It is not.
Mm-mm.
Ready?
Out you go.
This is never going to get old. You are covered, Chris.
Oh, God, I got a full load straight to the face there.
Okay. Can we try and get through this one, please? Can we try and get through this one? Please? Please?
There's no water.
Okay, then.
There you go. That's it. Push him along, Tony. Go on, pigs. And you, straggling rod.
Nice bunch of wieners, Neil.
Only the best for Bridge Farm.
Yeah.
Go on, pigs.
And that was your innuendo bingo. I enjoyed that.
BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads.
Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.